This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We're going to be reading Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. يسلم الصغير على الكبير والمار على القاعد والقليل على الكثير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليسلم الصغير على الكبير
كده ليسلم
ليسلم ليسلم
باللام
نعم
ليسلم My copy has no lamb. يسلم الصغير على الكبير
يسلم الصغير على الكبير والمار على القاعد والقليل على الكثير متفق عليه وفي رواية مسلم وفي رواية مسلم والراكب على الماشي Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the young should greet with salam the old, and the one who's passing by should greet the one who's sitting, and the small in a group should salute the larger one, agreed upon. And a narration by Muslim has, and the one who's riding should greet the one who's walking.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, wa rasulillah, wa ba'd. First of all, it's good to be back and to restart the class. And we'll continue talking about the chapter of Islamic etiquettes. And the last time that we talked about Islamic etiquettes were talking about the etiquettes in relation to if you attend an invitation over food and some of the etiquettes of eating in public. And now he's talking about, even though he mentioned some of the ruling related to as-salam before, talk about the etiquette of giving salam to someone. Now he talk about if you are in public place, on the streets, in malls, in places of public gathering, how should you conduct yourself? How should you greet people? So there is more details when it comes to the salam here than the one that we studied before. With the one we studied before, we focus on what assalamu alaikum means, the Islamic ruling of salam. Here talk about how can you give salam and you greet people and so forth. And this hadith, hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, يسلم الصغير على الكبير. He said this hadith متفق عليه, which it means al-Bukhari and Muslim reported it. But Ibn Hajar himself said in another book that يسلم الصغير على الكبير, the young greet the older, is not in Sahih Muslim. This wording is not in Sahih Muslim. Sahih Muslim says that the one who's walking, greet the one who's sitting. And the small number of people, give salam to the large number of people. And the one who is riding, to the one who is walking. But in Muslim, there is no, as far as what we know of, the Kabi that we have, it does not have that. And I do believe also Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah himself, he said, in Nukat, that this narration, this addition is not a Sahih Muslim. Another thing, we're not trying to be picky on Ibn Hajar rahimahullah tonight. He's a great imam. But another thing he said, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لِمُسْلِمٍ And in one narration for Muslim, when you hear that, what do you think? When you hear him saying, and for a narration for Muslim, that the one who is riding gives salam to the one who's walking, you would assume that this is only Muslim reported it. That's right. He said the first one, Al-Bukhari Muslim. And Muslim has this addition, which is the one who is riding, give salam to the one who's walking. صح? تفهم كأنه تفرد بها مسلم. And the reality is not, it's also in Al-Bukhari. So it's kind of strange. Why didn't he mention that? That he said it's in Al-Bukhari or Muslim. The walking, the riding over the, give salam to the one who is walking. This is just a technical thing. Al-Ulama rahimahumullah commented on the way Ibn Hajar wrote the book. As we heard, Mu'adh said, "Liyusallim, let him give," or in the giving an order, you should give salam if you are young to the older. the one who's young should give, like an order, okay? But this lamb that he said, it's in Muslim Imam Ahmad. What's in al-Bukhari wa Muslim, there is no lamb al-amr. It is also an order, but in a more passive way. يُسَلِّمُ الصَّغِيرُ عَلَى الْكَبِيرُ. The young greet the old. It's just a statement, which it also you understand from it, it's encouraged you to do that. Anyway, يُسَلِّم, it means give salam, okay? And we said before, As-salam is Allah's name. So when I say As-salamu alaykum, yani Allah's name is upon you, I bless you by, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name should bless you. And As-salam, one of Allah's unique name, because it means safety, tranquility, perfections, peace, okay? So you basically wish all this for the person that you greet him or her. What do we learn from this hadith? Where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the young should give salam to the older, and the one who is riding should give salam to the one who's walking, and the one who is the one who is passing by, give salam to the one who's sitting. Like let's say, me and Muhammad walking out the masjid, and Aqib sitting in the back there. We give him salam, he doesn't give us salam. Can somebody pass by the masjid now, and he sees us sitting, he passing by us, he should give us salam. And also, he's standing and we are sitting. That's another reason for you to give salam. طيب. And this hadith is absolutely authentic narrations. There is many rules we going to learn and fawa'id we can learn from this hadith. Number one, al-ulama talk about what's the wisdom behind the young giving salam to the elder, the one riding giving salam to the one who is walking, and the one, the small group to the bigger group, the one who passing to the one who's sitting. Okay? Can anybody tell me what's the wisdom? Let's see if you can yourself figure it out. But let's start with the young give salam to the older. Mm-hmm. Respect. It's the right of the older out of respect. Okay, you give him salam. طيب. Number two, what about the few give salam to the large number of people? But still few also, it could be like 10 and there is 100. So the 100 gives salam, the 10 should give salam to the 100, not the vice versa. They said, al-ulama rahimahullah, they said also because of the right of the jama'ah and the number, the larger number, the bigger, so they have kind of right. But what about the one who riding, giving salam to the one who's walking? You riding your car and somebody in the street walking. You should give him salam, not him giving you salam. What would be the wisdom behind that? Yes? Comfortable. Wallah, Sheikh, it depends which car. Some cars, like if you're riding Hyundai or something like that. Oops. Okay. No, not faster. Out of humility. So the person feels humility. Let's say you're riding a horse, or you know, somebody walking, you're riding your car. You know, like, you know, you're riding your fancy car, this SUV, and now I'm like walking on my feet. You know, out of humility, to teach the person humility. Okay? So that's one of the reason. But what about the one who passing you, give you salam, not the one who's sitting? Al-ulama said, because that's similar to someone come to your home. So if I come to your office, كَدَّاخِلْ عَلِي. If I come to your place, I come to your office or your home, I give you salam. I start with the salam, that's right? So it said the same thing, he passing by you, so he approaching you, that's why he should give you salam. So this is what al-ulama rahimahum said, the wisdom behind these categories, why you should give salam. An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala said that all the scholars agreed. All the scholars agreed that this is recommended, but it's not wajib. So if vice versa, it's okay. So the older can give salam to the young? Yes. Is it count? Yes. So it doesn't matter really. It's just recommended, but it's not must. Also, in this hadith, there is a very important etiquette, which is teaching young to show respect to the older. And this is a missing ingredient today in our society. Respect is a very rare quality. People don't know what respect means, okay? And unfortunately, and that's the result of being very materialistic. In materialistic world, you know, your value is not by your age or your contributions or your status or your ilm or knowledge. It's by how much influence, how much you can benefit me. That's the only thing really I care for, okay? Actually, one of the most common word our youth have is what? Who cares? That's right? Who cares? It's just an attitude. I don't care. That's right? It just, and that's show you there is kind of lack of respect or teaching people not to know what respect means, unfortunately. Also, it teach us that when a young person fulfill his duty towards you, you have to respect him back. That's why if he gives you salam, you should reply to him and say, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So also the young feel that they are respected. So it's not only a duty on the young, but also there's duties on the elder to respect the young and to give them their due rights. طيب. Al-ulama rahimahumullah debated, if a young person give you salam, is replying to him or to her wajib or not? لو قال دون البلوغ, 3 years old, 4 years old, السلام عليكم. Do I have to reply or not? There is two opinions among the scholars, okay? A lot of them said it's not wajib, it's recommended, and you're not committing a sin. But what Allah a'lam, it is the same as the adult. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا. If someone greet you, someone greet you, and someone that include what? All kind of people. Men, women, young, old, that's right? Also, this hadith is a practical format for how can we spread salam. You remember we learned, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, afshu salam baynakum, spread salam among you. So look, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you're walking, you give salam. If you're riding, you give salam. If you're passing by, you give salam. You know, if you see the older, you give the salam. The young, you know, you don't know, you give salam. So that's just a format, tamtathil amali, practical examples of how can you spread salam in society. So that means whenever in the masjid you pass by someone, you give him salam. In the way or across each other or somebody sitting, you give them salam, by the way, different than shaking hands. Just salamu alaikum. You don't need to shake everybody's hand. طيب. Home, we're going to talk about this in a little bit. قال بعض أهل العلم لم يرد والرجل على المرأة أو المرأة على الرجل في الحديث. Some of the ulama said, why not in the hadith anything saying and a man gives salam to a woman or woman gives salam to men? Didn't mention anything about men and women. العلماء رحمهم الله تعالى said that why this is. And wallahu a'lam, the reason for this, if you look at these categories, there is always one have right over the other. The older over the young. You know, the riding and the, you know, basically have right towards the one who's walking, you know, the one who's less than him. The majority have more right over the minority. So always someone has right over the other. And it doesn't fit to put women and men. Because if you do that, you're going to say, oh, women give salam to men because they have higher right. Or vice versa. It's not going to work. it's going to be some kind of discrimination. It's putting one person above the other. And when it comes to the general rules, we should not. النِّسَاءُ شَقَائِقُ الرِّجَالِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said, men and women are siblings. There's nobody better than higher than other when it comes to the duties and the responsibilities in Sharia. Also, one of the examples that I want to give that is commonly ignored, that you give salam while you are riding your car when you're passing by the brothers who is organizing the traffic. That's right. Because in the Bismillah, when you pass by someone, when you ride and somebody's standing, you give him salam. So sometimes we see Brother Muhammad, for example, in Jumu'ah, he's organizing the traffic and people just passing by, they don't even care. They didn't even say salam at all to the person. But it's the sunnah, if there is somebody organizing the traffic outside, especially if it's your Muslim brother, to give him salam. And that's, I saw this a lot in many masajid. Also, they have a team in parking lot, organizing the parking lot. They don't give them salam. They just, you know, sometimes يعني, they complain that they can be run over even. Also, this hadith teach us the importance of humility. That's why the riding persons give salam to the one who's walking. Al-Ulama said something very interesting. They said, see, if the riding person is the prince, the king, the president, the sheikh, the imam, the rich, and the one who is walking is the young, the poor, the average citizen, he has the right to be giving salam. It's very interesting. See how it teach everybody to maybe in your position, this is the position to give that salam. Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, rahimahullah, mentioned something interesting about Ibn Rushd, who's a great Maliki scholar. He said that let's assume the one who's riding is the older and the one who's walking is the young. Who gives salam to who? They said the riding person gives salam. Why? Because the tawadu, the humility, is very important here. Because there is no disrespect for not giving the salam. But here, it's kind of, if you don't give him salam, it kind of show arrogance, like I'm just passing by you. You see? So what if both of them riding? I'm riding my car this way, and he's riding his car this way. And we come across each other. Who gives salam to who? The older gives salam to the, or the younger? The younger gives salam to the older. Because it's tawaya, because in the same level. Taib. One of the things from this hadith also we learn, that rights in Islam is not connected to your social status. Your rights is your right. You get your right regardless what is your social status is, what your color is, what your level of education is, what your ethnicity is, whatever. We don't have anything to determine that. So, for example, if Mustafa, he's way younger than me, and he's sitting and I'm standing, I give him salam. You know, I'm a sheikh, it doesn't matter. I'm a PhD holder, it doesn't matter. And he is in high school or college, you know, still you give him the salam. That's his right. I'm from this family, from this tribe, I'm the king, I'm the president, it doesn't matter. So, for example, if a business owner walk into his business, he greet the people. They have the right. It's not like, oh, I'm like a cool manager or a nice employer. No, that's your right to be giving the salam, to be greeted. Which is interesting how this is established. This is, it doesn't matter, you, the rich, the poor. Because if you look at, unfortunately, so many of societies today, the one who will be greeted and be treated like special is the rich person. The person who has a high position in society. Everybody will run and give him salam. One of my friends told me a funny story. He said, I used to have a friend, a colleague in the university. And this guy, He has a little small, little bit like, you know, ahead of some kind of committees, a little bit like higher than us, you know. Give some special, like, to be a, chairing a committee in the universe. Oh my God, if you see how we give him salam, don't care, you know, he's so arrogant, blah, blah. Days goes by, and my friend became the dean of the college. He said, the same guy, he saw me in the hallway, he coming running, and, you know, my office, and when he came to my office, he said, come on to my office. He's younger than my friend. When he came, and he said, you want to give me salam? He said, yes, I want to give you salam and congratulate you. I'm so proud, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, hold your salam, come. So he took him to the office, and he took him to the office. He took the chair, and he put it, and he said, go ahead. So the guy said, what? He said, go ahead. He said, go ahead, what? He said, give salam to the chair. Congratulate the chair. That's why you're giving me, it's not me, it's the chair, it's the position. That's what you honor. That's not with me, it's the chair that you honor so much. That's what make you come running to me today. So you know what, go hug him, go hug the chair. It's not about me. Anyway, type question. Since we said you sallimu al-mar ala passing by, type, what if I'm passing by, okay, Ibrahim, for example, and he's reading Quran. Should I give him salam? Should I interrupt his recitation of the Quran? He's reading Quran. Should I interrupt him and give him salam or not? People say you should not give salam to the one who reads Quran. I don't know if you guys have this in your culture or not, but in where I came from, it's a quite, I hear a lot of people say that. Basically, there is no any proof for such claim. There is no proof at all from the Sunnah or the action of the Salaf that you should not give salam to the one who reads the Quran. And there is no anything to back this up. As a matter of fact, the ulama rahimahullah, some of them mentioned specifically that the maslaha, the reward and the benefit of giving salam and replying, it is higher than continuing the reading. Because what happened? You're just gonna pause for a few seconds, say wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and you continue read. You get the reward of replying to salam, you get the reward of connecting with your brothers, fulfilling one of the rights of your brothers, and that's it. I'm not saying socialize with him, you just give him salam, okay? So yes, you can give him salam. And actually, I have a proof to show you that it is permissible to do that. If you remember, we discussed an issue before that to give salam to a person who is in salah. You remember? We talked about this before and we said, mentioned the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they will be giving salam to people who are in salah. So if you are giving salam to someone who's in salah, or someone entered the masjid and you're in your salah, somebody said, salam alaykum rahmatullah, it is ordained for you to reply to the person. If this is in the salah, no doubt reading the Quran is much easier to reply. Okay? By the way, al-ulama rahimahullah said, you should not give salam. I don't know if you remember the discussion. We had a lengthy discussion. We said, the ulama rahimahullah said, just as a reminder, you should not give salam to someone who is in prayer unless you most likely knows that how he knows how to reply. Because you don't want to give him salam. He said, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Khalas, he broke his salah. If you start saying that, if he's ignorant. I'll tell you a funny story. Once I was praying, it was my sunnah, in my local masjid, long time ago, before I came to the United States. And we had a very old man from our family called Al-Arfaj, Allah yaghfir lahu yarhamu. So I was praying at the pillar here. Okay, so I was making ruku, Sami'a Allahu liman hamid. And the guy was almost gonna cross in front of me, between me and the pillar. So the sunnah is to stop the person. So I did like this, like to stop him so he doesn't comes. The guy said, "Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakat. You, my son, ya wladi, I missed you. Where did you go?" And he's like, start talking to me, and I couldn't hold it. I broke my salah. I just laughed. I couldn't hold it. So, anyway, and I know what to do, but this like was problem. Okay, if you know this, you will know also, خطأ من يقول لا سلام على طعام. You will know also, it is not correct what people say, no salam to people who are eating. Allah alam, this, people say this hadith, but I think this hadith reported by a hungry man. رواه واحد مفجوع. يعني, because like, what? It's gonna stop you from eating. Okay? So, yes, you can give salam to people who are eating. It's okay. Also, one of the things that you see that the Nabi sometimes said, you give salam when you enter. You give salam when you pass. So you will understand that there is a practice commonly, only in America, I saw this here. I didn't see it somewhere else. I can't remember like seeing it somewhere else. But it kind of one of the things that's like, what's going on here? It was like kind of weird for me. Which is, in a gathering, let's say we gather, we are in a gathering, talking together, blah, blah, blah. We've been with each other for the last an hour, for example, or 20 or 30 minutes. Then Abu Mustafa said, okay guys, can everybody introduce himself so we know who is everybody? Then Abu Walid will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, my name is Suhail. What's Assalamu alaikum? You are with us. Assalamu alaikum is when you enter, when you pass by, but not after you've been sitting with us for the last hour. You say, Assalamu alaikum, you know, my name is so-and-so. And I don't know the asl. I don't know any proof or any, it doesn't go with what the teaching of this hadith telling us. That as-salam is giving when you pass, when you enter. Not after you sit and you've been socializing with us for the last hour or so. طيب. Also, it is sunnah. If you about to start a lecture, is to say, if you notice when I came, when I said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I don't know if I did that, but I hope I did. Okay? Or let's say I'm going to start a lecture in a conference. Before you start your lecture, you should say what? Assalamu alaikum. Can anybody tell me what's the proof for that? At least two proofs. One you just heard, and one is a commonly known to you. Yeah? Khutbah. Every time the khatib comes, before he starts the khutbah, he say what? Assalamu alaikum. So if the khutbah al jumu'ah, you start assalamu alaikum. Conference talk, also say assalamu alaikum before you start. Very good. Also, what you just said, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فليسلم الإيش المار القائم على القاعد, the standing to the sitting people, the one who passing by, the one who entering, the قليل على الكثير, I am one, and mashallah there is 100 attendees in the class. You see, so that's why we say this is also from the sunnah, is to start with saying assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. طيب, if I enter a gathering, okay, is it permissible or it's recommended for me when I say assalamu alaikum rahmatullah to shake everybody's hand? Let's say I'm invited at Abu Mustafa's house. Abu Mustafa had 5 guests. Is it sunnah when I say assalamu alaikum, I go and shake hands each and every one of these 5 people? Or assalamu alaikum enough? Or you can do it and you cannot do it. It's an option. What is the sunnah? Shaykhna Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah was asked about this. He said, it's up to you. If you want to shake hands with people, it's good. But if it's going to be disturbing, like let's say I'm giving a talk in his house. While I'm giving a talk, somebody comes and he starts shaking everybody's hand and give everybody a hug. That's disturbing. Or, oh my God, one of the things that really so hard when you go to a wedding. The worst place to be in a wedding, you know where? Next to the groom. Because you standing, sitting, it's an exercise. Everybody come to give salam to the groom, will give you salam too. So you have to stand up. As-salamu alaykum. This is the whole day is like that. So sometimes it became hard, or in a you know, aza, when somebody die and they gather. Everybody comes. He gives salam to everybody, and everybody had to stand up. And sometimes it's, you know, especially if you're in somebody's house on this, you know, bad quality cushion that suck you in, and you have to put your hand in your friends and like up and, yeah, and all the. Sometimes it's really haraj. What I want to say, there is no asal for sunnah to this. Yani when the Nabi sallam comes or the companion comes, they didn't go and shake everybody's hand. It's not known that this is what the practice was. That's why Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, you should not do that. He said, I don't believe it is something recommended or encouraged to do. And he said, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we never heard, we never read, we never come across a single narration or a single incident. How many times in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a gathering of people and he entered or someone entered to this gathering and said, give salam. 100 times or thousands of times? Tell me, what do you think? Thousands of times. In these thousands of times, never a single time has a narration that they went and shake everybody's hand. So Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, لا يشرع. It's not something recommended or encouraged to do. It's a sunnah, actually. The closest way to sunnah is to give salam to everybody and to sit. Okay? Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah have a different approach. Shaykh Al-Albani has a different approach. He said, he actually believe if there is no mashaqqa, if it's not hard, it is recommended for you to go shake people's hands. Why? He said, because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in this beautiful hadith, and I want you to remember this every time you meet your brother, when you meet someone and you give him salam, even your family member. قَالَ مَا مِن مُسْلِمَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ فَيَتَصَافَحَانِ. Any two Muslims meet each other and they shake each other's hands, إِلَّا غَفَرَ لَهُمَا قَبْلَ أَن يَفْتَرِقَ. Except Allah will forgive their sins before they depart from one another. Before I leave your hand. So, Shaykh Al-Albani said, how many times would you like this to happen to you? So if you shake those people's hands, you get this ajr again and again and again and again and again and again and again. So he said that. I do believe, you know, Shaykh Baz rahimahullah's opinion is just the best for me. He said, you can do it, but there is nothing really, and if you leave it because you feel it's not suitable, it's not good, just leave it. So you should judge it based on that environment. But one thing I want you to pay attention to it, that the ulama talk about, and a lot of people don't pay attention to it. They said, if you're going to shake people's hand, you don't repeat as-salam. As a matter of fact, Sheikh Al-Albani, who said it's good to give salam, he said, repeating salamu alaykum to each and every one, he said it's bid'ah. So why? Because it's salam marra wahid. He said salamu alaykum to everybody. But when you shake their hands individually, how are you doing? Everything is good. But he said there's nothing ever in Islam or Sharia that you give salam twice to the same person. So if you already give them salam, you don't repeat it again. So you don't feel like assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. That's not, you know, correct. Taib. If this is the case, what do you think of shaking hands and giving salam to each other after finishing salah? You know, one of the things that people do sometimes, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, the one next to you, assalamu alaikum wa mashallah, haraman ta jam'an madri ish, salam maqbula, whatever, they shake hands with each other. And in some culture, like in Egypt, for example, in some countries, they will reach out to you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, left and right from the both sides, from the imam, and they come and you give you hug some. Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, was asked, Ibn Taymiyyah, what's the ruling on giving salam after salah? And he said, especially people used to do it after asr and fajr. Is it sunnah? Is it recommended or not? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, Al-musafahatu ba'da as-salami bid'ah. Giving salam to each other and shaking hands with each other after ending the salah is bid'ah in religion. He said it's an innovation in religion. Because again, you're not coming into someone, you're not passing by someone, you're not entering somebody's house. You've been together praying and lining up all this time. He said, إِذَا تَقَابَلَ. If they meet each other later on, let's say we pray, and I see you, or, hey, salamu alaykum, I didn't see you before. But what they talk about is the common practice that after every salah, it doesn't matter, you saw him or you don't, you give him salam. But someone I didn't see Muhammad Sharaf for a while, oh, mashallah, salamu alaykum, I haven't seen you for, that's fine. We talk about like the practice that some people do. That's fine. One time is okay. But Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was talking about the practice that is a commonly people believe. I don't know if you know that or not, but there is a lot, like some people believe that after every salah, they have to shake the hands of people on the left and the right. That has nothing. That's Ibn Taymiyyah. I wouldn't say bid'ah, but personally, me, I would say it's not from the sunnah, and the person continue doing it all the time, it might be part of the bid'ah. طيب. Unless, okay, they never met before, or they didn't meet for a long time. And among the ulama that who said bid'ah as well, by the way, the great Shafi'i scholar Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, rahimahullah. Sheikh bin Baz once was asked, if I am attending khutbah al-Jumu'ah, okay, and somebody came and he stretched his hand and said, salamu alaykum to you, what should you do? Be rude and... What do you do? Sheikh Baz rahimahullah said, he said, if this is the case, you shake his hand without verbally talking. You can shake his hand, but don't say anything. Why? Because in khutbah, you're not allowed to talk while the imam is giving the speech or giving the sermon. You're not allowed to talk. So you can shake his hand, but you don't. But you should not initiate that. I'm talking about you got stuck. Someone stretches his hand to you. What do? You just say it. And you don't say anything. Just shake his hand, and that's it. And afterwards, you tell him. طيب, Barakatana Sheikh Shurafa mentioned something also very common, which is some of you might be surprised to hear it today. If I enter my house, I'm coming to my house or a house, and I enter and I give salam for my family inside. But what if there is nobody inside the house? I just got divorced and got, by myself. Or, my family, traveling. Or I'm a single. I'm in this house, and nobody in the house. Is it sunnah to say, assalamu alaikum? To the house when you enter, or not? Some ulama said, okay, yes, you should. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبَةً. Allah said in Surah An-Nur, if you enter homes, okay, Sheikh Ibrahim and Saad, we like to keep this place for the sisters. So if you guys can come to this area, to the other side. I'm not sure. I saw a couple of them kind of want to come. You can ask them. If there is somebody coming, it's good. If not, they're not coming, ask them, Sheikh Ibrahim. Just ask them if there is any sister coming. Sheikh, can you let them know it is available? Just, you good? If any sister want to come to the right side, it's available.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alas salah.
So the issue here, if you enter a house, your house or in a house, there's nobody there. Should you say salam? Assalamu alaikum. Okay, you come back from traveling, nobody in the house, assalamu alaikum, when you open the door. About to rent a car, you go to rent a house, you know, you enter your room in the hotel, you open the door, assalamu alaikum. Is that right practice? Is that sunnah? The people who say, if you read this verse in Surah An-Nur, if you enter homes, give salam to yourself. Okay? This is literally the translation. Greet yourself. Question. Does that make sense to you? Greet yourself. Do we give salam to ourselves?
Yes.
Do you give salam to yourself? I mean, if you do, you need to see a psychiatrist. If you keep saying, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, you know, you need to check with a professional help. Okay? So, there is nothing, Al-Quran, you cannot just take the verse without looking at the concept, the practice of the Prophet. What that means, give salam to yourself. What's the greed? The greed, you give salam to someone. When I say assalam, I'm making dua for that person. So there is no any concept in Sharia says that you greet yourself. You say salam alaikum to yourself. So what this verse means? So anfusikum, yourself. It means yourself? Actually, no. If you look at the Quran, in the language of the Quran, anfusikum, it means your brothers, your fellow Muslims, your relatives, whatever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. طيب. It's don't kill your brothers. It's not about don't kill yourself. مُفَسِّرِينَ مُتَّفِقِينَ agreed. That means don't kill others. Okay? Also, Ibn Jarir رحمه الله said, فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Greet yourself. He said it means فَسَلِّمْ بُلْيُسَلِّمْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. You give salam to each other. So why Allah refer to your Muslim brother as yourself? Because he should be like you. That's a very amazing metaphor that Allah refer to your brothers as it's your own self. Because you and him should be one thing. Okay? In the story of Musa alayhi salam, many verses in the Quran, not many times, anfusikum refer to others. The word anfusikum, yourself, it means you're the others. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the people of children of Israel, the follower of Musa, if they want to repent, faqtulu anfusakum, kill your brother, kill. That's why they start killing one another. Then Musa said, Ya Rab, if they continue this way, the whole entire race of Jews will end, stop. Nobody said that they stabbed themselves. Okay? So that's why, that's number one. Number two, when you enter a house, there's nobody there. Why would you give salam? So we've done with, you don't give salam to yourself. You don't greet yourself. Yani, if you look at yourself in the mirror, oh, I just met myself, salam alaikum, in the mirror. You know what? I just walk from one room to another, salam alaikum. You know, I just got in my car, I look at, salam alaikum. You know, I take a dip in the bathtub and then come out, salam alaikum. What, do I give salam to someone? No, you don't. So who do you give salam to when you enter the house? Angels. Question. Is salam legislated in Islam to give to the angels? Is that anywhere registered in your understanding of Islam that we ever been asked to give salam to angels? Otherwise, mashallah, I can all say, salam alaikum. Salam alaikum. I have two angels here, right? What I do? Yeah. I miss you guys. Do you do that? You have four angels in front of you, behind you, above you. Assalamu alaikum. Do I do that? No. When I wake up and I have an angel, mashallah, I recited Surah Ayatul Kursi, there is an angel the whole night protecting you. So when you wake up, assalamu alaikum, thank you. Do you do that? If you do, you need to see it. Seek serious help. That's not make no sense. So we don't greet angels. There is nothing in Islam from the beginning to the end. It's called greeting angels. Jinn. Do we greet jinn? Allah keep them away from us. We don't give them salam. So who you are saying to, I ask Allah by His name as salam to bless you, to protect you. The house? That's even interesting. We give salam now to walls. Assalamu alaikum. To tables. If you look at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, listen to what's in Sunnah Abi Dawood. He said, when you come to your home, you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra al-mawlij wa khayra al-makhraj bismillahi wa lajna. وَبِسْمِ اللَّهِ خَرَجْنَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ رَبَّنَا تَوَكَّلْنَا. In the name of Allah, we enter. In the name of Allah, we exit. Okay? We ask Allah to grant us the best of entrance and the best of exit. Salam. Very beautiful meanings. Okay? Then he said, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ رَبَّنَا. And upon Allah, I put my trust. ثُمَّ لِيُسَلِّمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. Then you give salam to your family. So the hadith talk about you give salam to who? To the family. So if there is no family, there is no salam. And in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith of Tirmidhi to Anas, قال يا بني, son, إذا دخلت على أهلك فسلم. When you go and to your family, give your family salam. So you basically give salam to your family. طيب, somebody maybe have a little bit of background and tell me, Sheikh Waleed, sorry, you're not, you know, maybe you're trying to be logic and blah, blah, blah. You know what? There is a Salaf used to give salam when they enter empty houses. And some people said that. I said, I looked personally to every single narration that it has the claim that someone entered an empty house and he said, salam alaikum. And I found them all fit under one category. And the most authentic and the most famous one, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ بَيْتًا غَيْرَ مَسْكُونَ. If you enter abandoned house, uninhabited house, Okay? غير المسكون. He said, say, السلام علينا. السلام upon us. And upon عباد الله الصالحين. And upon what? The righteous of the servants of Allah. And also, Mujahid said, إذا دخلت المسجد, when you enter the masjid, say, السلام على رسول الله. What? السلام upon رسول الله. وإذا دخلت على أهلك, when you go, which is when you enter, what you say, اللهم صل على محمد. That's the sunnah, to do the دعاء الصلاة على رسول الله. This is, اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك. Then when you enter to your home, give salam to your family, see? And if you enter an abandoned house, okay, no one in it, say, As-salamu alayna wa la ibadillahi as-salihin. Salam, peace be upon us and the righteous of as-salihin. First of all, I would say this. Who should you follow the practice? Who deserve from you to follow the most? Rasulullah sallam or a successor or a companion? But Nabi sallam never reported that he ever gives salam to an empty home. Or he ever said, is it something possibly to happen to you, the Prophet? Yes. Nabi never told the companion to do that. Never said anything like that. At least we don't have any proof for that. So if you want to initiate a new ruling in Islam, you have to bring proof. That's number one. Number two, if you notice these statements and actions of the Salaf has nothing to do with As-Salam, which is the greeting. It's a form of dua that Allah protect you from the evilness of the jinn that who usually live in abandoned houses. That's why you say when you come to an abandoned place, place never been abandoned, because jinn where they congregate the most in abandoned places. Abandoned homes. So in this case, you should say As-salam. As-salamu alayna here. It's a form of what? A dua, like supplication. Like in your salah, when you say As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, aw as-salamu ala Rasulillah. It means you greeting the Prophet? No, he's not in front of you to greet him. He's dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passed away. When you go to the cemetery, you say, As-salamu alaykum. Are you talking to them to greet them? No. You're making dua for them. So the same thing when you enter an abandoned house, you say, As-salamu alayna wa la ibadla salihin. You're making dua that the protection, because salam, it means protection. Be upon me. And also a protection upon those who lives in there, so there is no harm will come to them. Otherwise, if we open this door, you say, give salam to the jinn, give salam to the angels. You know what? I opened my car, I said, assalamu alaikum. I get out of my car, I said, assalamu alaikum. I get on the bus, I said, assalamu alaikum. I get in the elevator, I get assalamu alaikum to myself or to the angel and jinn with me all the time. This has not been ordained. There is no in Sharia al-Islam anything that make a communication between me and something from the unseen kida dialogue. Assalamu alaikum. Even the human who died, there is no more dialogue between me and him. Khalas. Alam al-ghayb something and alam al-shahada something else. So I don't believe this is a correct practice. I'm not going to say bid'ah, but I don't think it's a correct practice. And it never made sense to me ever. And I don't believe any proof for the athar that some people use really back this practice. Another thing, al-ulama rahimahullah said, when we meet one another, since the hadith talk about the etiquette of meeting and giving salam, what about hugging and kissing? Is that part of the sunnah? I hope not. I agree. Okay. A sunnah, shaking hands. Men and women. I mean, women among each other, men with each other, you know, shaking hands. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was asked, when I meet my friend or my brother, إِذَا لَقِيَ أَحَدَنَا أَخَاهُ أَوْ صَاحِبَهُ أَيَنْحَنِي لَهُ قَالَ لَا. Should I bow to him or to her? He said, no. Then the Prophet ﷺ was asked, أَفَيَلْتَزِمُهُ وَيُقَبِّلُهُ. Should I hug him and kiss him? قال لا. He said no. He said قال فيأخذ بيده ويصاحفه ويصافحه. قال نعم. I shake his hands. He said yes. الحديث in سنة الترمذي أن الألباني رحمه الله صدق الحديث. It's a sound. النووي رحمه الله said there is an agreement between all the scholars. It is sunnah when you meet someone to shake their hands. That's why Anas radiallahu an Qatada told, asked him, do the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they used to meet each other, they used to shake each other's hands? He said, yes. قَالَ نَعْمَ. That's the practice of the companions. And this narrations reported by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. There is exceptions in the sunnah. What's the exception? If you coming from not Hajj, any traveling, if you come from traveling, you give that person a hug. In Tabarani, and this also an authentic narration, كَانَ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, the Prophet's companion, used to, when they meet one another, they shake each other's hands. But when they come from traveling, they will hug each other. Hug. So that's in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why there is not there is no any authentic, let's put it this way, authentic narration that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever kissed by someone when he shook his hand, somebody's hand. It's not part of the culture among Arabs. It's like the American culture here, you know, now. It's kissing is not part of the culture. And the Arabs old days did not use, now the Arabs, they suck your cheek, man, when they kiss you. Okay? So, but in the old days, no. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not something happened in their culture. Is it haram? No. It's a culture. So Islam leave it as is. But I want to say something I noticed a lot here in America as well, more than any other place. The issue of giving hug to the person who's about to travel. Like if I'm going to leave, for example, next week to England, people, oh, you're leaving, so I'm going to give you a hug. As sunnah is to give hug when the person comes back, not before the person leaves. Just, but you allow it. It's not haram or wrong, because all these are, you know, cultural things. What has been reported when it comes to kissing the dead? The Nabi was kissed by Abu Bakr when he was after he died. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he died, Abu Bakr uncovered his face and he kissed him in between his head. Also, one of the obviously kissing when you meet and when you greet, or when you depart from one another, is to what? To kiss who? I hope you guys know that. Your wife. You know, to kiss Umm Salama, she said that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sunan Abi Dawood, even the hadith, there is a debate about the authenticity, before he goes from the house to the masjid, he will kiss his wife. He give her a goodbye kiss. See, wallahi, Shaykh, the etiquette of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so high. Okay, anywhere you want. It's left for you. Okay, so that's basically type. Whose else should be kissed? Or in there is, al ulama talk about if there's someone should be kissed other than the wife, parents. You kiss their head, their hand, their whatever their cheek, it depends on the culture. Also, some of the ulama said, taqbil al-alim, whoever in the same status of father, like a scholar, elder, you know, to kiss their heads. And this is our cultural thing. One thing also, since we talk about when you meet someone, you give him salam, is it permissible when you meet someone to stand up for the person to give him salam? Or you should stand up for the person. Like when someone comes, let's say we gather here, somebody come, do I stand up? If you notice some people, they don't stand up, they just shake hands while they're sitting. they don't stand up for the person. Is anything in Islam and Sunnah about talk about this? You might be surprised. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah reports it in his Musnad and Abi Dawood with Tirmidhi and others, and Abi Mijlis and the Muawiyah dakhala bayta, that Muawiyah radiallahu anh entered the house, where there is Ibn Amr and Ibn Zubayr in that house. Ibn Amr stood up, but Ibn Zubayr didn't. Stood up and he gave salam to Muawiyah, but Ibn Zubayr didn't. Muawiyah told Ibn Amr, sit down. Don't stand up to shake my hands or to greet me. Sit down. I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, من سره أن يتمثل له العباد قياما فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Said, because the Nabi ﷺ said, whoever wants or desire that people stand up for him, okay, that person should not expect a place in the Day of Judgment except a place in hellfire. If you feel like, you know, I deserve, when I come back, you stand up for me. I have that. So if you notice, Muawiyah used this against Ibn Amr. Because some of you said, Shaykh, but Ibn Amr has not done the hadith, said, whoever wants people to stand up for him. So why Ibn Amr, who stood up? This hadith about the person you stand up for, not the one who stood up himself. That's right. And the hadith said, if you want people to stand up for you, so the blame is about me, not about the people who stood up for me. Actually, ulama said, no, both are sinning. Because you fulfill that desire of the person, which is haram, by standing up and like honoring him. Tayyib. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said it's forbidden, as well as Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. But I want to say, I don't believe generalizing the ruling like this is correct. Why? Because the issue of standing up for a person can be looked at in the text and the evidence, and we can categorize it to three categories. And if you are interested, I think it is translated in English, if I'm not mistaken. There is a very beautiful, well-researched, well-written, very short, but it's very, very profound, paper by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. في مسألة القيام للسلام. Okay? This mas'ala of standing up for someone to give him salam. And he mentioned, and also Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah has another beautiful writing about this. So if you look at the sunnah of the Prophet, for instance, just give you an example. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخلت فاطمة قام لها وأجلسها مكانه. Every time Fatima come to visit the Prophet ﷺ, he stand up for her to give her salam, and he would let her sit in his place. And every time he comes and she's sitting, she stand up for him and would let him sit in her place. So, the Nabi stood up for her. Okay? Also, Talha, when Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, Allah sent down the verses in Surah At-Tawbah about saying that he's not hypocrites. What Talha said when he saw him coming, he stood up and he gave him a hug. When you many evidence Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, yeah. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when he came, Nabi Sallam told his people, قُومُوا إِلَى سَيِّدِكُمْ. Go, stand up and go to your leader. Notice, he said, go to him. He didn't say, stand up and go to him. He didn't say, stand up for him. مَا قَالْ قُومُوا لِسَيِّدِكُمْ قَالْ قُومُوا إِلَى سَيِّدِكُمْ. Why? Because he was bleeding, was injured, need help. Okay? So if we look at this evidence, then the best thing can be said here, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam companions said. Anas radiallahu anhu said, لم يكن شيء لم يكن شخص أحب إلينا من رسول الله. No one we loved and we respected more than the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكان أصحابه إذا رأوه لم يقوموا له. And when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم comes, the companion did not used to stand up for the Prophet. And he's Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Anas said, no one we love and respect more than him, but we never did. Why we didn't do that? قال لما يعلمون من كراهته لذلك. Because they know that the Prophet disliked that. Yeah. The Prophet disliked that. Just let's wrap this up. So the ulama rahimahullah said there is three scenarios. One which is absolutely forbidden, and that what this hadith actually referred to, which is look, expect your place in hellfire if you want people to stand for you. Which is you will be sitting and people standing behind you. Like the way kings and not for protection, no, for like honoring. And you know, when I sit, nobody sit. Everybody standing for me. It was a culture of kings and royalty. This what the Prophet ﷺ was referring to in the beginning. That's why Nabi ﷺ, when he entered the salah and he sat in the salah, what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were doing? Standing and he's sitting. What the Prophet ﷺ did? He said, sat down. So he would never be seen ever as sitting and behind him the people standing. He ordered them to sit down as well. That's haram. So to stand up out of for someone that he feels that he has a very high position, he deserved that, as out of arrogance, like the way the kings and maybe presidents or royals believe. Or masters, you know, when they come, everybody stands up. Some managers maybe feel that way. Am I stand up? I'm honored of this position. I own this place. Everybody stand up when I'm sitting. Nobody said. That's haram. That's forbidden. Huh? Okay. The second one, to stand for the person in front of the person. Not behind him. In front of muqabillah. You stand up, not while he is standing, not while he's sitting. So he stand up, you stand up, he comes, you stand up for the person. الصيح في هذا الكراهة. It's dislike. And it is, you do it as needed. Like in judges, teachers, sometimes, you know, that's my boss, I'm going to get fired, you know. So, party, yeah. Huh? Yeah, yeah, that's for court. Yeah, yeah, you stand up. The third one is to stand up for the person for a reason, to give him a hug. You didn't see him for a while. To show him extra respect because he's a scholar or older or someone sick, like they did to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, that's permissible. Like he did to his daughter, she did to her father, okay? And it is some, if you know that if I don't stand up for someone to give him salam, that will make the person feel bad and kind of get disrespected, and older, especially in certain culture, will be very angry at you if you don't do that. You know, the maslaha to do that, you stand up for that, for the person. There is plenty of evidence during the Salaf, rahimahullah, that even with kings, when they came and they gave them salam, they didn't stand up. And the king was angry, like Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, like al-Mutawakkil, was very angry at a scholar. And he said, his name is Ahmad ibn al-Adil. Everybody stood up except Ahmad ibn al-Adil. So the al-Mutawakkil said, قال ألا يرى هذا بيعتنا? He doesn't believe that I am a Khalifa or what? Did he stand down? He didn't stand up for me. Then the wazir, he knows the sheikh. He said, قال في بصره شيء. No, he can't see clearly. Then he heard him, the sheikh. He said, قال ليس في بصري شيء ولكن في نفسي شيء. There's nothing wrong with my eyes, but I have something in my heart. Then the Khalifa said, what is it? He said, يا أمير المؤمنين, نزهتك عن عذاب الله. I didn't stand up because I care for your deen. I care for your akhirah. He said, how come? He said, because the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من أحب أن يتمثل له الناس قياما فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. If you want people to stand for you and to honor, you should expect your a place for yourself in the hellfire. المتوكل said, you sit next to me. From all the other scholars. And he brought him and he honored him. And there is many incidents like this took place with ulama and scholars like Al-Ma'mun, Al-Mansur, same thing. So if there is anything, you should educate people. You don't have to stand up. Like for me, because especially after I start growing a lot of gray hair, you know, when I go to gathering a place, because they see you as a sheikh, so everybody like stand up for you. So I make sure that to make a point, jama'a la had yqum, please don't stand up. You should educate people, because it's still not something I recommended to be done. But make sure you don't sit down and to show disrespect to someone who will not understand why you are sitting down. Okay? So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the companion that he doesn't like them when they stand up for him. That's why they did not stand up for him. But he informed them first. قال لما يعلمون من كراهتي, because they know he doesn't like that. So these are some of the rules and benefits from the hadith that we study today. And looking forward, inshallah, to study the other ones as we go. Yeah, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.